Okay, welcome. The show is Immunize Wisely, and I'm your host, Ingrid Castle. My websites are Vaccination Liberation, that's vaclib.org. I'm sorry, I'm the director of Vaccination Liberation, so the websites are vaccinetruth.com. You can always access it that way because it's easy to find vaccinetruth.com. But the other one is vaclib.org, vaclib.org. That's our main website. Over 20 years of research. And then I have another website that pays my bills, and it's called humbleweed.net, and you can see some of the articles I've written and my blogs and stuff like that, although I have not updated in a while. I just went through a move, as many of you know. Anyway, of course, I went through the move right, you know, before all hell broke loose in this country right at the end of March. And so it's been a real test for patriots everywhere, especially when they realized the game that was being played on them. I decided to go down to the capital of Idaho this weekend. I felt like it was very important to make sure that the rule of law was followed. My former representative and friend is Representative Heather Scott, and she's been, you know, updating us and giving us all kinds of fantastic information. And then I moved to the neighboring county, and my two representatives were showed up, and there was a call for all of our representatives and senators to show up because 90 days had passed, and by statute, they needed to convene the legislature in an emergency situation. Whether the governor called for them to appear or not, they needed to be there to, you know, keep the check on the judicial and executive branches. And it was really sad. Apparently, they were in dereliction of duty. They abandoned their post, and they all need to be replaced except for 14 of them. So I was really quite shocked and dismayed, as well as my guest who showed up. And I decided when I went down, I was going to grab this special guest for you today. It's because I've wanted to have him on for a while because I consider him a kindred spirit. And I think you, all of our listeners, would agree. Anyway, I have Ammon Bundy as our guest today. And Ammon Bundy gained national attention in 2016 when he led Idaho's 3% militia to assist with the armed occupation of the Malheur, I never can say that right, anyhow, the Wildlife Refuge Federal Building in Oregon. He ended up in the spotlight yet again this past Easter Sunday, 2020, when churches across the country were closed for Easter services for the first time in the history of our country. Ammon rented a warehouse in Emmett, Idaho, to invite Christians to gather for an Easter worship service that was followed by a potluck defying Governor Brad Little's stay-at-home orders and social distancing. And more recently, he helped organize counties in the Inland Northwest and elsewhere to defend their communities from rioters who were allegedly with Black Lives Matter from defacing and destroying both public and private property. He told people to text RIGHTS 80123 to get involved in protecting their community. So welcome to Immunize Wisely on the Republic Broadcasting Network, Ammon. It's a pleasure to have you as our guest today. And I understand you're traveling. So, you know, how is that doing this from the road?
Oh, it's just part of the challenge. It's good, though. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity, and anyway, just to speak about what's going on, trying to get to the bottom of it, and doing our best to give people a choice.
Right, and I know we have like a petition or to recall Governor Brad Little, and you may not know this, but citizen petitions got a lot harder from my other former representative. It was the person who works with Heather Scott is Sage Dixon. He was part of spearheading the effort to make it even more difficult, allegedly because there were people that lobbyists that would come in the state and pay $1 per signature. So I was very concerned at the time that we would have a situation like we have now, where we really do need to recall the governor. I actually think he needs to be arrested. You know, I'm more on that level, that we need to organize a sheriff's to arrest him. But I don't know how you feel about that. How do you feel about that?
Well, the recall effort is almost next to impossible. That means, you know, basically mathematically, because they got 75 days to do it, they would have to have 3,800 signatures a day in order to get that done. And as you may imagine, you know, just to get that type of momentum within and then accomplish that is almost impossible, especially within 75 days. But, you know, there was many that felt like we had to try and we had to give it mm-hmm. an effort, and it would send a message as well. And so that effort is happening, you know, but the laws here in Idaho, because basically the executive is trying to protect itself, has made it almost impossible for the people to recall. As far as Little and his being arrested, you know, what he's done here in Idaho is some of the most extreme criminal behavior that we've ever experienced. Never before, ever in the history of our country, actually, in any state, have we been restricted from traveling to visit our families. Have we been restricted? Never has there ever been a time when we've been restricted from going to church, from worshiping, from our businesses being closed. And yet you've got a huge part of the population thinking that it's okay and acting like this is normal, when mm-hmm. our fundamental liberties have never, ever even come close to being threatened like they are right now.
I totally agree with you. And then, you know, this is just a quick sum. Little's actions were taken at a time when the following facts existed. There were zero Idaho residents under the age of 50 who had died or assumed to have died of COVID-related issues. 33 of Idaho's 44 counties, at 75%, had experienced zero COVID-related deaths, and at no time during the U.S. peak of the novel, you know, COVID infections were any of Idaho's healthcare systems near or at the point of being overrun past their capacity to treat patients. I mean, this is not justification for martial law in a state of emergency, and that's, I guess, what is really concerning people. That at no time did the deaths or cases exceed, you know, a combination of cancer deaths and suicides.
No, and it still hasn't. It hasn't even got close to that. Even the deaths, as you know, that have been calculated, it's more like about 12 to 17% of those are actually COVID deaths. The rest are related to other, you know, diseases and sicknesses, right, or age of the patient, if you will. And right. Yeah, what Governor Little did, I mean, but really, would that matter? Would it matter if 9 out of 10 people were dying? Does that still mean that another man has the power to make it so we can't visit family? Does that make it so that we can't worship and get together and worship? I thought that was our choice as free people, as adults,
right,
you know, under freedom. I thought that was our choice. And I thought we put government in a little box under this country called the Constitution, state mm-hmm. And federal, that says thou shalt or shalt not. It says shalt not do this, shalt not. And one of those things is thou shalt not infringe upon, you know, religion, travel, the right to bear mm-hmm. arms, and so on and so forth. But it seems like somehow we've lost our form of government, where now it's basically whatever they dictate, mm-hmm. they can also enforce by law. And that, to me, is, one, it's inappropriate because we are free. We are free mm-hmm. people. We have a right to choose. Mm-hmm. And two, it is unlawful.
Well, to me, if you know, just the list of all the illegal actions he's done, to me, warrants his arrest. and you don't necessarily think so. I mean, I'm just curious.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm a practical person, and
right.
And I think it exposes the vulnerability of the people, because what we have done is we have either through manipulation, deception, or apathy, or all the above, we have basically put ourselves in the situation as a people where there is a monopoly on force. And mm-hmm. the problem is that monopoly is held within the government. Mm-hmm. It was never designed that way. Our nation and country and the foundation of our basically principled government was that the people held the power, including the power to enforce law, including the power to, keep government accountable. And the way that was supposed to be done is by people uniting in what they called back then militias, and mm-hmm. making sure that they always kept themselves equal in arms with the government, or maybe even mm-hmm. more equal in power. And therefore, if the government ever got out of hand, or government agents began to act and use the force of law against the people, that the people could defend themselves and even correct it. That is why right. the Second Amendment says, you know, we forget the first part of the Second Amendment. It says a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state.
Well, absolutely.
We always want to say the Second Amendment says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, and it does say that. But after the first sentence, which is talks about a well-regulated militia being necessary in order to be free, in order to stay free, it is necessary that the people are organized together so that they can defend themselves. And so back to my point, we have a governor who is openly and blatantly disobeying the law, and we have no way to enforce the law, you know, and uphold it.
So, you know, many people have thought about a lawsuit. Do you know of anyone that's, going to take this to court?
Well, there's a group up in Northern Idaho who have taken to court for basically infringement upon religion, and
right.
that's getting some traction. The legislatures that were at the meeting on the 23rd mm-hmm. got together, and they say they're going to file an injunction with Governor Little to basically not necessarily to stop the order, that might be part of it, but to make it so that he can't use that $1.25 billion that he got from the Federal Reserve without mm-hmm. without oversight from the legislatures. Because right now he's saying he can do whatever he wants with it. He can appropriate it any way he wants, and he doesn't need the legislature's oversight. Well, that's not the way a Republican form of government works. But then mm-hmm. he says, well, we're basically not in a Republican form of government.
Right. He's taking the martial law thing too far right now. It's in violation of Title 67, Chapter 4, Section 422, where it says convening of a legislature in the event of an attack. I mean, he's actually saying this is an attack. I don't see any huge evidence of that when I consider, frankly, you know, we've had, you know, chemical trails over our state. We have a lot of other stuff that would be, you know, to me, considered an attack. But this is certainly doesn't meet that definition. But it says the governor shall call the legislature into session as soon as practicable, and in any case, within 90 days following the inception of the attack. If the governor fails to issue such call, the legislature shall, on the 90th day from the date of inception of the attack, automatically convene at the place where the governor then has his office. Well, that was certainly on the 23rd, and like I said, we certainly they didn't have a quorum. I was, you know, rather shocked. I really feel like it was abandonment of post. And what really shocked me is that they gave excuses. Well, I contacted the AG, you know, the Attorney General. I'm like, well, wait a minute. You are a check against an out-of-control judicial branch and an out-of-control executive branch. I mean, you are the check. So if you don't understand law and you have to go to the attorney general to interpret laws that you created, I mean, this is really outrageous. We already have had, you know, really unbelievable rulings from the attorney general's office that don't that defy logic and sense. So, I've never trusted that office anyway.
Well, and that office is part of the executive branch, not part of the judicial branch. It is part of the executive branch. It is
right.
It is the governor's attorney. It is the government's attorney. They're not part of the judicial branch. And so what the legislatures are doing are running to the executive branch, and which they're supposed to check and balance. And they're saying, hey, do we have permission to do this? That's exactly what they're doing. They're not even going to attorneys independently. And what they're basically saying is, hey, executive branch, do we have authority to check and balance you? What do you think they're going to say? They're not even going to the judicial branch yet. They're planning on it. But the law is very, very clear. You're right. And the reason why is because we're not supposed to be put in a dictatorship or a monarchy indefinitely. The law says, the first law, if there's a state of emergency, it says that the governor has 30 days, and if he needs it, he can have another 30 days. So that's 60 days. After that, his emergency powers end. But then he used what they call an extreme state of emergency or martial law, and he used that law, and then that law says that within 90 days, the remedy to that law says that within 90 days, if the governor has not convened the legislature shall convene on the 90th day. That was June 23rd, and we had 15 show up, right?
There's 14 out of 70.
They would just completely believe the attorney general's office that the governor has indefinite powers for indefinitely.
Right.
I mean,
wow.
I mean, let logic play here. We are a republican form of government. It has nothing to do with the party. We're a republican form of government. In Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, it says that the United States shall guarantee to every state in the union a republican form of government. Each one of our states are a republican form of government. That's where the people are sovereign, and they elect representatives to take care of the common matters enumerated in the Constitution. And at no point is it appropriate for us to be placed in a dictatorship and change our form of government. But that's exactly what's happened. And our law, our Idaho law, basically provides remedy that if that happens, if we have a tyrannical governor, then there's 30, then 60, then 90 days. All of those are increments in order to get it back to a Republican form of government. But our legislatures have completely, basically been duped by the attorney general, who's part of the executive branch, part of the problem with the governor, a huge part of it, in saying that the governor can be a dictator forever in Idaho.
Right. Well, the AG's office, our experience is they always defend bad legislation and they always defend the governor. You know, I mean, that it's like their duty.
That's their job.
It's the gatekeeper. He's the gatekeeper.
That is their duty.
Mm-hmm.
But that is their duty. He is the attorney general. He is the attorney for the government. So we all get mad at him for saying, oh, the governor, he always defends the governor. He always takes the governor's side. That's his job. That's why he was hired. Right? It's like saying, as me as a defendant, you know, and I got an attorney the opposing party is always saying, the attorney always takes that guy's side. He always takes his side. Well, that's his job.
Right.
But the what's baffling is that the legislature would go to him and say, you know, what can we do? What power do we have? he doesn't represent the legislatures. The legislatures are not the government when it comes to it. If the legislatures take the government to court, it will say the government against, I don't know, the legislatures or against the body of, you know, it'll be interesting what they say, but it will not say the government against the government. So the executive branch is considered the government in the courts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally hear you, because I've worked with the different legislators over the years, and they with proposed legislation and stuff, they always like to ask the attorney general's opinion, especially if the proposed legislation tends to counter existing statute or attempts to change. Anyway, it's always been very frustrating to me, because many of the freshman legislators that, they get elected, and it's a real new game for them, because they're not used to all these proposed laws that are by, lobbyists and corporations and, the money powers that be, just inundating them. They don't have any help in our state.
Sure.
At least there's no assistance. In other states, each legislator is assigned a page or someone to help them with legislation. Unless you bring someone or you have someone from your Republican Central Committee, you are overwhelmed. So I've always told them, when you're voting and you don't have time to read it, just vote no. Vote no. Because I've seen so many of my friends that get in the legislature and they voted yes on bills that were horrible, and they were even warned about it, but they didn't have time to read that email on that particular, bill being proposed. So we have a lot of bad laws on the books, that are even counter to what they stand for, just because they didn't heed the advice to vote no. You don't have time? Vote no.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, if you don't know the candidate on the ballot, don't vote. Don't vote for them. Don't vote for anybody if you don't know the candidate. If you go to the ballot box, you have a responsibility to only vote for those who you know will, defend the Constitution, uphold the the rule of law, and protect the people's rights. Besides that, what business do you have, or anybody, because anybody have, what business do I have, anybody going to a ballot and then checking your name to somebody that gives them quite a bit of power to influence your life and other people's lives when you don't even know who they are? You haven't done any research. So, yeah,
exactly.
great point.
Okay, I'm going to want to switch gears on a couple things, because we're dealing with – this is a pretty big deal, and we're pretty thankful for you initiating – some action on the part of the militia, because we really needed them. We were pretty freaked out in the Kootenai County, which, is borders the Washington border near Spokane. This is kind of a bedroom community to Spokane, or has been. But now it's just, kind of turning into one continuous city. And once they did their Black Lives Matter protest, it was followed quickly by these rioters and just all this destruction going on in downtown Spokane. And the mayor was so shocked, she started a curfew. And so, we're in this area, we're immediately on alert and realized, there was rumors that they were going to come over here, whether they were or not. It didn't even matter to us. We realized that these rioters were close enough and were obviously paid thugs that we needed to do something. And so that kind of made national news here. But, the host just before the show, she's going to join me the second hour. And she wanted to ask why the Oath Keepers have been strangely silent on all this. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I know a lot about it, actually. And what I've seen over and over again, I don't have to go into a lot of detail, but what I've seen over and over and over again is when these, you know, groups or if you want to call them militias or, you know, any type of body that organizes to basically protect rights, if they organize in a hierarchical manner, they're always, always basically circumvented at the top eventually. They're always taken over at the top. Then what happens? What happens is, sorry, I had a call coming. What happens is then that person or that influence then influences the, you know, thousands or even tens of thousands of people down there, because in times when you're supposed to actually be standing up, they're actually calling for a stand down, and that is intentional. The very same thing has happened to the Oath Keepers, and I, you know, I wish I could say otherwise, but I know for a fact that that has happened, where the Oath Keepers was organized properly, or at least I shouldn't say organized properly, but they people joined it for the right reason. They took an oath to uphold the Constitution. That's why they're called Oath Keepers. But they created a hierarchy with basically one man at the top calling the shots between tens of thousands of people at the bottom. And when that one man gets compromised, or many that influence him, I should say, then that organization not only becomes an organization that won't stand up when it needs to, it actually becomes an organization that takes everybody else and stops their action from standing up. So, you know, that because everybody looks to that person and says, oh, when are they going to tell us to do something? When are they going to tell us to act? And they don't act themselves. That's what's happened to the Oath Keepers.
That is so sad because, I mean, this is certainly the hour where of their shining would be. I mean, this is when our country is totally turned upside down. I mean, there's no strong justification for these emergency powers and lockdowns. I mean, South Dakota never locked down. They followed some of their guidelines. It was all recommended. They didn't close down any businesses. They don't have any record cases or, you know, it's not anything more radical than the other place. In fact, you know, if you go to republicbroadcasting.org, there's an excellent article up there, and it shows that all the states that are still locking down and sequestering, they have four times the cases. Well, they're probably really pushing that, like in New York, where we're seeing, you know, the five Democratic governors that started pushing, you know, anyone that was sick or whether they had COVID or not, you know, into nursing homes, doing these testing where, you know, there's rumors that the test itself is giving people COVID. I mean, it's very creepy what's going on, especially, you know, the reports out of New York of, you know, clearly murder, you know, mass murder going on in these hospitals. And, you know, anything to, you know, jump the numbers of COVID cases. And it all seems to be in these Democrat controlled states. Well, anyhow, we're coming up on a commercial break. So if you, I'd love for you to comment on that. But stay tuned. If you're listening to Ammon Bundy on Immunize Wisely on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late-night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
My guest, Ammon Bundy. I was just, kept talking a little bit, and then we had a commercial break, so maybe you can respond to that, you know, what you're seeing of these, you know, increase in cases of alleged COVID there that were being reported in different areas, and, you know, your insight into that.
Well, I think you compared the states that basically did the lockdowns and have pushed this COVID narrative and pushed the testing and all of that with the states that haven't. And the numbers are actually very telling how much greater the states that had did the lockdown and that have basically pushed the narrative, how they have much greater numbers than the ones that didn't. And I think it's correlated very directly with the accurate numbers versus the inaccurate numbers. And so I think you can go to the states because they're not trying to push it. In fact, they're trying to keep the people mostly free, right? And so they're not trying to find an excuse to call it COVID. They're not basically, their health departments are not pushing the COVID, and they're not justifying the hospitals to get the extra $13,000 if their patients have COVID or not, and $39,000 to put them on a ventilator. So the numbers are actually absolutely accurate, I believe, or or fairly close to accurate with the states that aren't pushing the narrative. And it, just for example, if you go to a report from the New York Health Department, I wish I had it right in front of me, so I'm going to have to, just, mm-hmm. but it went and talked about, go through, and I think it had 97,000, I think, deaths or something to that effect, and I'm throwing this out there. But then it missed all those deaths that had, they also had cancer, or they had flu, or they had heart disease. And then what was left was only those who had COVID. And these were of any age, so they didn't exclude the age. And it ended up being at 12%. 12% of those they claimed died actually had COVID and nothing else, even though some of them were well over 80 years old. So you can do the math. Well, then you go to another state that's not fudging the numbers, and you start to look at really what's happening. And you can see that this is a farce. It's completely a lie. The numbers are completely lies. And that this coronavirus is less lethal than our common flu. Yet governors all over, most governors, have pushed the narrative, and you have to ask why. And I believe I have a clear answer to one of those reasons.
Yeah, you do have to ask why. I mean, you know, we can say it's the election. They do pull. They've always pulled this kind of stuff on an election year. But this is getting out of control and shocking and quite frightening, frankly. But anyway, so moving on, we don't have a whole lot of time. I wanted to mention that Sally puts together great websites, and she put your YouTube about, you know, the child confiscation due to COVID. And I think that really hits a nerve with a lot of us that, you know, we know CPS has been pretty bad, but now to have all of this testing, tracing, you know, the three T's. I guess Nancy Pelosi popularized, said, just remember the three T's, testing, right, tracing, and treatment. And, of course, the treatment is not hydrochloroquine and zinc or anything natural that costs very little, but it's something going to be super expensive, whether it's a drug or, you know, this Moderna vaccine, or is it a vaccine? It doesn't even appear to be a vaccine the more you read about it. So, you know, this is all, you know, meant to keep us boxed in this, you know, constant loop of fear. And when, you know, especially when they start kidnapping our children. So she put that, I just want everyone to know, it's at tinyurl.com/honorparents. Honor parents. So, but anyway, I'd like you to address that. I mean, what people can do, because I already know what I believe people need to do, but, you know, what do you think people need to do to protect themselves from this overreach?
Well, first of all, let me lay out a few facts if I have time, and I'll be quick, because several months ago, I would say about two months ago, we got clear evidence from Washington State Department of Children and Family Services that they were looking to hire people to staff their children's quarantine centers. We got a employment ad and from the state of Washington on both ZipRecruiter and governmentjobs.com, and they were asking, you know, a job employment for DHS or whatever they call it there in Washington to be children's quarantine center staff. So that's evidence number one. We looked into it. We began to see what Governor Inslee was doing. And remember, this coming out of the Northwest, this is where Bill Gates is, this is where all of the vaccine, a lot of the vaccine stuff, and it's coming out to the other state. Well, then we see that he is implementing contact tracing with 1,300 staff increasing, and half of them are National Guard. And when he was asked multiple times, well, would this be enforced? his only answer was, well, I hope we don't have to go there. So that's basically saying, like, absolutely, forced quarantine is going to happen. Contact tracing is going to happen. We know that. So then we go to some more evidence. And here in Idaho, and this was really revealing to us, going through the laws, we see that Governor Little also is implementing contact tracing, but he suspended 127 laws or administrative rules when it comes to housing children with the state. He suspended them, and housing children and parental rights. And let me give you some examples. So we go through and we see that he suspended where a parent can always know where the child is at. He suspended that. He also suspended where the parent can, if the state moves them or does something with them, the state, where the parent can appeal that decision. That's been suspended. He suspended where, let me get my notes in front of me, where the parent can disagree. There's one other parental right that was really evidential. But then the other part that he suspended is how the children are housed. So he suspended basically where they don't have to have a certain amount of bathrooms anymore. They don't have to have a certain amount of bedrooms per child capita anymore. They don't have to have a certain ratio of adults versus children anymore. They don't have to have separation of like health codes for the buildings. They don't have to have basically a license. All of these things he's suspended. So you have to ask the question, why? Why would he suspend the parental rights? And why would he suspend the requirement that the state has in holding children? And I know that answer very intimately because I was falsely accused and spent two years in prison, as you know, and then I was acquitted on all charges, right? And I spent my time in those prisons. And those prisons, basically, they just pack people in there. The toilets are on the wall. They're bunk bed three high. And then none of those buildings follow code, the building codes, none of them. And in order to house people on a mass amount, you have to get rid of the rules of codes and those laws. And that's exactly what he's doing with these children housing requirements. Why? Because there is a plan, if needs be, that they're going to have to house many children in these facilities. We already seen that they're calling for employees for quarantine centers, children's quarantine centers. We see on the other state side of the border where Little is suspending the housing requirements and the parental requirements. They can't have the parents appealing when they are knowing where their children are. They can't have that if they're doing this. They can't have the parents doing those things. And then there's another piece of evidence here, if I can find it real quick, and it's from an attorney in California. And these certainly aren't the only evidence. I don't want to give that impression. But and basically this attorney was representing his clients in Los Angeles County District Court. And CPS was trying to take their child away because one of the parents had COVID-19. The district judge ruled that the child was to be detained by CPS. And the attorney was just appalled by it. He said, he warned us, as an attorney would, and said, basically, let that sink in. The courts are taking children away from their parents because of COVID-19. And then the last bit of evidence, as you know, we had to activate the People's Rights Network because brand new parents, mother and a father, first time baby, go into a hospital in Washington, Olympia, Washington. the mother was tested negative. The test came back for COVID-19. She was tested again. It was positive. They came in and they took the baby away from the parents and would not let the parents have any contact with the baby. They told the parents that they had to go home. They were trying to force discharge them without the baby. They were going to have to go home and quarantine for 14 days and then get tested again. If the test came back negative, then they would have to wait 10 days and they could finally have their baby back. Uh-huh. Well, when we found out about that, we activated People's Rights Network, and we had a couple hundred people there within a couple hours. And we had thousands coming. We had activated almost 8,000 people, and they, you know, to come to the hospital. When the hospital saw such a presence outside their door, they started backpedaling and ultimately gave the baby back to the parents and blamed it on the Washington Department of Disease Control and said it was their fault, and the parents went home. And so that is why we've organized People's Rights to do those very things and to combat. Same with activating the people in Coeur d'Alene and Boise against Antifa that were coming. That was mm-hmm. part of the People's Rights Network, and I believe that is part of the solution.
I do believe it's part of the solution. Now, you may not know this. I'm going to send you some information. But see, she tested negative. And they're saying in the test itself, this is not an innocuous test. I mean, it's going up your nostrils. They're saying they're actually depositing something in there that, you know, I don't believe it's a virus. I think it's a biological weapon kind of thing. But they're putting something in there that will give you a positive test. I mean, you know, they're also saying, I mean, there's 120 companies that jumped on the bandwagon to create tests. There's no oversight on these tests, which is why there was such a phenomenal amount of false positives. But it is a PCR test, and so it's not, you know, good as, but anyway, so if someone has had one of these tests, you will test positive a second time. That's really important to understand. So I will send you some information on that. I'm glad you pointed that out, that she was negative, and then they tested her again. So they're really testing this. And I keep telling people over and over again, stop the chain. Do not allow yourself to get tested. It's like protecting yourself from a vaccine or a TB time test. These are not they're invasive. I mean, they are breaking the boundary of your skin and body. I mean, they're putting something in. I mean, it's going, you know, anyway, this is your right to be sovereign and part of your bodily integrity to say no.
Absolutely. I mean, if that is what is actually happening here, in my opinion, they're confused with whose rights belong to. And you know, the right to control your body, to control what goes into your body, is your right. It's one of your most precious, sacred, you know, intimate rights that you have. It belongs mm-hmm. to you. It does not belong to anybody. And, you know, injecting some unknown chemical that they don't even know what it is into your body through a forced immunization or any other way is no different than rape. And I'm sure you've made that correlation before, but rape is done by an extreme violent criminal. And there is no mm-hmm. different when someone forces injections into your body. That is your body, and we must assert that these rights belong to us and right. not them. The government agents are confused. They believe that it belongs to them. And we must stand and say, these rights do not belong to you.
And thank you for, associating a forced injection or anything like that with rape, because I consider it is rape. And I started this whole thing, over 20 years ago, vaccination liberation, because I come from a non-vaccinating family, and I was literally assaulted into me, raped in the emergency room by a nurse. against my, I mean, all of a sudden a needle is being pumped into into my arm. I mean, I was just sitting there in the waiting room. So anyway, I'm just, you know, saying that that really gets your goat, you know, I mean, believe me, when you're assaulted in that manner, you know, with a, what I consider a deadly weapon. So aside from that, there's several other things. I mean, we're running out of time. I know Sally wanted to thank you for supporting Sarah Brady and her cause. Yeah, that first night we stayed with her, she was lovely. Let me see. The other thing. Oh, yeah, she asked. Okay, I'm going to have one final question for you, and it'll be after this commercial break, and then we'll wrap up the show. But thank you so much, Amit. Please stay tuned till after the commercial break.
With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, welcome back. We only have a few minutes of the show. Thank you so much, Ammon, for answering our questions. We have one more, and it's from Sally. I mean, she thought of these questions, and I like that she came up with them. But anyway, one of them was, you know, during the Bundy Ranch standoff, she saw, you know, and I think I noticed that in one of the videos too, where all the cattle were herded through some place where they were getting vaccinated. And she wanted to know how they responded and how you feel about vaccinated cattle now.
Well, it's an interesting thing. I hesitate to compare cattle to people. And so I just don't do it. They were by the government rounded up. They killed about 60 head of them, shooting them from helicopters and you know, broken legs, broken backs. And then the ones they ended up getting into the krill, they did vaccinate, you know, for whatever reason. I don't even know what they did. But, again, I think the best correlation between those two is that here you got government agents trying to take rights away. They've forgotten who these rights belong to. They belong to the people. And that's why we organize people's rights. And you can text rights to 80123 if you want to join anywhere in the country. Anyway, that's why we've done it.
So, again, that's rights 80123. I encourage everyone to get involved. That's really this message. We, you know, to me, it's so important that we are networked in protecting our rights, and that, you know, if something's happening in your neighborhood, you can organize people and get them to show up, as you guys were able to in Olympia. Thank you so much for doing that. And, you know, I bring up the animal issue. You know, we talk about animal rights, but actually, you know, we're to be caretakers of the earth. You know, that's biblical. And, you know, if we don't want you know, ourselves vaccinated, we certainly don't want our animals. I mean, I just left my cat behind on some property because it's a wild thing, but 18 years old, never had a shot. Nobody would ever know she's 18 years old. Most cats that are 18 years old are decrepit and in horrible shape. She still acts like a kitten at 18 years old. But, you know, I mean, these vaccines are destroying not just our children, but the animals around us. So it's just something to be aware of. I just, you know, we of course, are always trying to raise awareness on this issue. That's all.
Absolutely. Well, it is. Thank you. I appreciate you pointing that out.
Mm-hmm. So I just want people to get involved. I mean, the best way to get out of any kind of worry and fear is to actually get down on your knees and pray and do what's right. Text rights 80123. Connect with other, you know, like-minded Christians. You know, don't be afraid of it. There's nothing to be afraid of, frankly, except fear itself. And when you see false evidence appearing real, which is fear, then you do the opposite and you stand up.
Well, thank you. I maybe the last point to make is that we have a duty to defend ourselves and a duty to defend our neighbors. The two great commandments were love God and love your neighbor as yourself. You yep. can't defend your neighbor if you don't know who they are. And you and your neighbor can't defend you if you don't know who, if he doesn't know who that you are. And that's what People's Rights is doing. If you want more information, go to peoplesrights.org. You can also sign up there or just text rights to 80123. And we're just simply connecting people in neighborhoods, in communities, so that when the time comes, if the time comes, because we certainly have to believe that it is coming, in one aspect or another, that we can defend each other, stand for each other, unite together, and make sure that our rights are secured and those who are confused about whose rights are do not make that the new normal.
Yes, absolutely. Well, God bless you for all your efforts in getting people off their butts and into the right direction. So I just really appreciate you so much and all the wonderful advocacy you've done for our nation. Thank you. And our state.
Thank you. Thank you for your voice.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so please stay tuned for the next hour. We're going to take callers. Sally and I are going to host a call, and we have several questions, and you do too. So we're going to just go back and forth on issues that are important to all of us to answer.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.